Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 60th Cork Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by Katina Medina Mora, who is the filmmaker, director of the film, You Will Know What to Do With Me. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
So the first question is the obligatory question. If you could tell our listeners a little bit about the story of the film.
Well, it's a love story, but it's a love story that doesn't come easy. It's, I think the interesting part is that it's two characters that are one of them emotionally in an emotional jail, let's say, and the other one has an illness. So I think they fall in love in spite of all their demons and fears. And what you see in the movie is how this love is developing with these two interesting characters. But it is a love story in the end.
And one of the things that you said before the screening was that it was a cathartic process for you. So what did you mean by that?
I was saying yesterday that when I started to write the script, for me it was important to talk about epilepsy because I have friends with the illness. The friend that was based, Nicolas, the character, he died before watching the movie. That was very tough. And the movie talks about mourning and death and life and how you choose to live your life after a loss. Before doing the film, I have a huge loss. My cousin that was like my brother died. So a theme that for me was only at the beginning interesting and I wanted to talk about it suddenly became a cathartic thing, and I was directing the actresses talking about death and about losing someone you love, and I was living it right there because I shot the film like 5 months after the death of this cousin. So, and in the end it was an homage to him. The script was already written, but I started changing some dialogues and some bits and pieces here just to honor him. And in the end, the phrase that it's in the end credits, it's for him. So yeah. It was
tribute.
A cathartic, yeah.
It's a beautiful tribute. And actually, you said that it took you about 8 years to kind of make the film, right? It's a long time.
It's a long time. It's, yeah, 8 years since I started thinking about the story, and then I won a development scholarship, but then I didn't win the production one, and I went to all these production companies. And actually, the last application I did was like, if I don't get this, this movie is not going to be done. I'm going to just put it in a drawer and think about something else because it's been too long, and I got the money.
One of the things that I really love about this film is the characters themselves. They're very real. And the fact that we witness the story from the different perspectives of the two leading characters is very interesting. When did you first get the idea to kind of, come up with that narrative structure in order to tell your story?
Well, it's funny because I had this script. I wrote it when I was 27. I'm 35 now, and I think I've changed a lot, and I've changed on what I think and feel and how you see the world and everything. So when we got the money, I was like, we need to rewrite this story because it's very naive. You know, it was like a story through the eyes of a 27-year-old, and then you're 35. And so I contacted two scriptwriters. So the synopsis was the same, but we were going to rewrite it and make it more human. And instead of characters of 20-something, it was 30-something, which is more complex, and we have more baggage, and we're more scared about relationships, so it would be more interesting. And one of the scriptwriters brought this idea to the table because she was like, instead of doing something chronological that is just a love story that develops itself, if we do this, then we can hide some mystery from her character, that at the beginning you maybe don't even like her, and then you start loving her because you know her story. And we did it to give it a twist as well, and to give it something spicy and not just tell a love story just like the normal way, let's say.
I think this structure actually adds a little sense of maybe mystery to the love story itself, which is very unusual and incredibly interesting too. Do you find that to be true?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the script, and maybe that's one of the flaws, is that her character is more built. The whole story with her mother, it's so strong, mm-hmm. that maybe all the beginning of the film with him, that it's not that strong. It's just this character and has epilepsy, but you don't see anything at the beginning. Maybe it takes some minutes for you to get into the movie, and then I guess the first part is the love story, and then the second part is the understanding of the character.
I think it's also that we're just so not used to seeing female characters developed in such a human way. Some of the things that she does are almost considered taboo in cinema, especially when dealt with through a female character, such as her relationship with sex as a way of like releasing her attention, you know, things like that. Maybe that's also why she stands out a little bit more. But also, the visual language, too, is subtle, but it's there. There's a little difference in the way in which you shot the different three episodes. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, that was with the DP. When we had this structure in the script, we were like, we need to do something different in each one. And this DP, I've been working with him for 12 years. Everything I direct, he is a DP. So we're like Batman and Robin. and it's really nice collaboration. And what we thought was that with Nicolas, it was going to be more wide shots. And the camera would only move in a dolly and just like more stable. Because we felt that Nicolas' life, even though he's sick, he's more stable emotionally. Right, he has this open space house that was also thought. I wanted her apartment to be small and more like trapped, and his space, it's all open. And with her, we're like, let's do a handheld, it's more chaotic, like her life. And when they're together, it's Steadicam, which is like if the dolly and the handheld married, and it's just like more subtle. I think people don't notice it, but I think it's on the unconscious that you actually feel the camera moving more when you're with her. So for us, it was just to put something else in the visual part to add to the structure of the script.
But the story wouldn't have worked if it hadn't been for the chemistry of the actors. You know, that's always very important. Mm-hmm. So. Tell me about how you came across them and the casting process and how you worked with them.
Well, my first movie, I didn't do casting. And I really regretted it because I think it's a process that you need to do. And I'm a big fan of actors. I don't understand directors that work with non-actors. Like, it's like, no. I mean, I'm a big fan from actors that study and that are good and that have... they can propose things and stuff. So it was a long casting process for her and the mother, because I casted a lot of combinations with mothers that I liked and daughters, and see what was best as a combination. And Ilse is an upcoming actress in Mexico. She's going to be huge. She's really good. And I had another actress in mind that I really loved. But Ilse, because Ilse wasn't my friend, I just knew her, and this other actress was my friend, but Ilse would come after some work or whatever and do this fucking great casting. And I was like, I think I found the character in her, and she was doing sometimes some things more naive or more funny that I hadn't thought about the character, but seeing her doing it, I was like, yeah, I think this is it. And Rosa Maria, the mom, she's a really well-known actress in Mexico and hadn't done films in a while. So she was very excited because she's like, at my age, there's not like really interesting characters in film. It was really difficult to find them. So, and the chemistry with them was incredible. And with Pablo, I saw him in Isabel, in a TV series in Spain, and I fell in love with him, and I did a Skype with him, and what he said to me is that he's always doing all these dark movies and characters. He's like, they always cast me as a junkie or as a crazy man or as a psychopath, a schizophrenic. And I've been waiting for this character for many years, a nice and character with light. And he was delighted that I would see him in that character. So.
And as a final question, maybe, if you would like to tell us where we might be able to see this film in the near future, and also if you'd like to introduce to us maybe a few ideas that you have for future projects.
Well, I think we are releasing it in Mexico next year around April or something like that. Let's wish we can get it outside, maybe Spain, because I have two Spanish actors, and just by coincidence, like, the editor, the makeup artist, the art direction, they're all Spanish people, so, and one of the scriptwriters. So maybe Spain would be the place that we can release it also. And for the future, I have the script for the next movie that the scriptwriter that wrote, you'll know, wrote this one. It's about transgender, and that it's a theme that for me has been very, it started to be something very interesting, and now I feel a responsibility to tell this story because I've been interviewing Mexican transgender women. And now the theme is so hot that we need to shoot it soon. We came up with the script a year ago before the whole theme was huge and all over the world. And it's, I mean, it's more a movie about identity. It's not like just a character happens to be transgender. And I'm very excited about that one because I think it's half in New York, half in Mexico. So it's ambitious, and we are starting to get the funding and applications and stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent. We'll be looking forward to hearing more about it.
Thank you.
So thanks very much for joining us once again, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you very much to you.
Thanks a lot. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.